Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Billy Protho Mabee Hightower of Midland passed away on Tuesday, January 4th. The family will receive friends on Friday, January 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the branch at Nally Pickle & Welsh. Celebration of Life will be held on Saturday at 10 a.m. at First Baptist Chapel. Private burial will be held at Rest Haven Cemetery. The family suggests memorials be donated to Midland Children's Rehab Center in Midland. Marion Jane Luttrell passed away on Saturday, January 1st. Celebration of Life will be held on Monday, January 10th at 3 p.m. at Nally Pickle & Welsh Chapel, followed by a reception. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle & Welsh Funeral Home. Lowell Sherman Cessna passed away on January 4th. A public visitation will be Friday, January 7th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Funeral service will occur Saturday, January 8th at 1 p.m. at First Apostolic Church. A graveside service will occur Saturday, January 8th at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Adlin Grace Avalar passed away on January 1st. A celebration of life was held at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home on January the 6th.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, January 1st. Helping Students is Passion for UTPB Director by Ruth Campbell. Marisol Kreisman willed herself through college and graduate school and is now helping those with similar backgrounds achieve more in their lives. Kreisman is Executive Director for Advancement Services, Foundation Engagement, and Official Endowment Compliance Officer at University of Texas Permian Basin. In January, she will have been with UTPB for 3 years and is something of an evangelist for higher education. Growing up in Monahans, it was expected that she would finish high school, find a husband, start having children, and maybe have a part-time job. But Kreisman wanted more. She earned a bachelor's degree in communication arts with an emphasis in journalism from University of Incarnate Word in San Antonio and a master's degree in public administration from UTPB. Kreisman and her husband Shane have 9-year-old twin boys, Evan and Aviel. Shane Kreisman is an assistant U.S. attorney for the Western District of Texas. Her parents are Rosa Yanez, retired, and Philippe Yanez, who died November 11, 2016. Kreisman has one younger sister, Maribel Yanez, who is now in college. She's a non-traditional student. She didn't realize until later on that maybe she should go to college, so she should be graduating in May from UTPB to get her teaching certificate, Kreisman said. She added that she would like to think she is the inspiration for her sister going to college. I think I pushed her to do it because she was, after high school, kind of just jumping from job to job, struggling for the last few years. I've been telling her just to go to school, and she started at Odessa College for her associate degree and then transferred here to UTPB. So it's taken her a little bit longer because she's working part-time. I have definitely been kind of another mom to her, saying, just get it done. It'll be worth it. She has struggled, but she's getting it done, Kreisman said. With Kreisman's twins, she said they don't understand that there's an option not to go to college. We do it in a friendly, appropriate way that's not demanding, that's not you will go, because one of my boys is not a huge fan of school, and he will ask me why do people have to go to school, and we have to go through this whole conversation. I tell him you still have 8 years of school to finish high school, and then 4 more years of college and 2 years of graduate school. And he's like, oh my gosh, we're going to be in school forever. Being able to tell our students' stories and have students tell their own stories, that's the best part, Kreisman added. She said there are so many people in the community that are supportive. She also walks friends through the application process because she wants their children to be successful. I've encouraged friends my age to go back to school, and they go for it. People know me to be very helpful, not just for education, but in anything that I can. So it's amazing to be able to help our students. We blast it as much as we can, and I post it on my social media, and it just opens up a lot of doors and opportunities. Money that they didn't know they had access to, because there's a lot of funding available for students, and students need to realize that, Christman said. She added that they can get aid from universities, third-party scholarships, and from other sources. Vice President of Advancement Wendell Snodgrass said, Christman has a passion for helping others. She works tirelessly to find ways to help students attain their college degree. We are grateful Marisol chose to work for UT Permian Basin and advance our mission. She has accomplished a lot in 3 years. With her work ethic and desire to succeed, it will be exciting to see all that she accomplishes in the future, Snodgrass said. Chief of Staff Executive Director of Communication, Tatum Hubbard, said Christman is a rock star around UTPB and a great team member. Her story is one that I think really resonates with so many of our Falcon family, Hubbard said. She's exceptional. She is an example not only for the young people she speaks to, but adults as well. One of the things we try to do around here a lot is keep a mental picture of the students we're serving. I think when you do that, you stay pretty focused and you can make some value judgments. I like to picture what was Marisol's journey to go to college. What help did she need along the way? Whether through the admissions process, with financial aid, with advising, just with life issues that came up. So because we know Marisol and we know her journey, we also know how to better serve our students. I think that's helpful to have a real mental picture about what one of our students, what their life might be like, Hubbard said. Christman had to figure out a lot of things on her own. That's not unlike so many of our students. Applying for college is sometimes not that easy. It can be a complicated process, and I say that having just done so for my own daughter, and I did go to college. I work at a college, and it was still difficult. Now I try to think about what if nobody in my family had ever been down that path before. We have a lot of students who are figuring things out on the go, and I'm so proud of them for that, she said. It's incumbent upon us to be really helpful along the way and really patient, allow lots of good questions, and then dig around until we can find some answers that make their lives easier and help them reach their goal, Hubbard added.
Hello, this is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. Governor Abbott, HHSC, announced extension of emergency SNAP benefits by OA News. Austin, a press release from Governor Greg Abbott announced on Tuesday the Texas Health and Human Services Commission is providing more than $307 million in emergency supplemental nutrition assistance program food benefits for the month of January. The allotments are expected to help more than 1.5 million Texas households, the press release detailed. This emergency SNAP support will ensure more than 1.5 million families can continue to put food on the table, Abbott stated in the press release. Thanks to the USDA for their continued collaboration with HHSC to provide healthy meals to Texans across the state. As Texans ring in the new year, this additional support will help families start 2022 with food on the table for themselves and their children. Texas HHS Access and Eligibility Service Deputy Executive Commissioner Wayne Salter stated in the press release. HHSC received federal approval from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to extend the maximum allowable amount of SNAP benefits to recipients based on family size, and all SNAP households will receive a minimum of $95 in emergency allotments. This additional emergency allotment should appear in recipients' accounts by January 31st. The emergency January allotment are in addition to the more than $5.4 billion in benefits previously provided to Texans since April 2020, the press release stated. Ramsey named new PRSC executive director by OA News. The Permian Road Safety Coalition Board of Directors has welcomed Ellen K. Ramsey to be the non-for-profit organization's new executive director. Ramsey, with experience in both the energy sector and not-for-profit community, will lead the coalition as it seeks to make the roadways of the Permian Basin safer. We are thrilled to have an outstanding community leader like Ellen Ramsey join the PRSC as our executive director, Vanessa Rawlings, chair of the PRSC's board of directors, stated in the press release. We also want to thank our former executive director, Scott Schreffler, for his leadership of the coalition. Schreffler, who was on loan from Shell since April 2019, has returned to Shell and works in the company's emergency management department based in Houston. Improving road safety and reducing the number of traffic-related injuries and deaths in the Permian Basin is key to the PRSC's mission. More than 195 lives were lost on the roadways of the Permian Basin in 2020, Ramsey stated in the press release. One lost life is too many. We as a community can do better. This is a significant issue where there is no single solution. It will take all of the continued efforts of the PRSC, its supporters, and the community to drive the focus on personal road safety behaviors to drivers in the Permian Basin in order to make our roads safer for everyone. The Permian Road Safety Coalition leads a collaborative effort with oil and natural gas operators, oil field service and transportation companies, non-governmental and governmental organizations to improve road safety and reduce the number of traffic-related injuries and deaths in the Permian Basin. Companies, organizations, and individuals that are interested in champion road safety initiatives by supporting the efforts of the PRSC are encouraged to learn more by visiting www.permianroadsafety.org.
Hi, this is Jane, reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Wednesday, January 5th, in the Health and Wellness section. Hi, this is Jane reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness section on Wednesday, January 5th. Midland Health COVID report released Tuesday, January 4th. On Tuesday, there were 62 COVID inpatients. On Monday, there were 50. The positivity rate this week through Monday is 51%. Last week, it was 41.5%. Inpatients at the hospital on Monday, there were 198. On Tuesday, 197. Tests this week, 178 were positive, 171 negative. Last week, 492 were positive, and 693 were negative. Positivity rate by age group. Those from birth to 19, there was one person who tested positive. In the age group 20 to 29, there are 6. In the age group 30 to 39, there are 5. In the age group 40 to 49, there are 9. In the age group 50 to 59, there are 12. Among those 60 to 69 years of age, there are 14. In the age group 70 to 79, there are 10. Those that are 80 or over, there are 4 people. The census by location. 36 people are in medical units. 12 are in critical care. 4 are in progressive care. 1 is labor and delivery. 1 mother-baby. 8 holding for admission. These data come from Midland Health.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Midland Reporter Telegram viewpoint section published Sunday, January 2nd, 2022. Area's earthquake issue needs to be addressed by Stuart Doreen, editor. I'm ready to put a bow on this earthquake problem we have here in the Permian Basin. I'm hoping that tremors and my house shaking become so 2021. Residents from Midland to Gardendale and Stanton deserve better than having to study up on earthquake insurance and policies that might be right for them. Our country and world need our oil and gas, and our community and state need the benefits of being home to one of the most significant oil patches in the world. But that shouldn't require us to wonder if another 4.5 magnitude quake or stronger is in our future. It's time for local, region, and state leaders to get more serious about the issue of pushing millions of barrels of wastewater into the ground. Today, industry and West Texas leaders should call for Governor Greg Abbott to put together a committee to recommend solutions that, if needed, includes incentives or at least infrastructure to reuse industrial water effectively. For all that this region does for the rest of the state, it doesn't seem like an extraordinary request. We know a healthy oil and gas industry benefits all Texans, and investment now will be a benefit long into the future. What I am talking about is being proactive, not reactive, to the issue of seismic activity in our region. We can do better than Oklahoma, where there are still areas that have experienced more than 460 quakes in the last 365 days. We can certainly do better than the status quo. In Midland, there have been more than 240 quakes in the past 365 days. That total, while eye-opening, is just around 10% of the earthquake activity that has taken place around Mentone, which is in Loving County. The number of quakes around Mentone in the last 365 days is around 2,350, which is more than 3 times the number of earthquakes in Los Angeles and San Francisco combined. This past week was also significant for the entire region, as there were 2 quakes with magnitudes of at least 4.4. Those would be among the strongest in the Permian Basin in the last decade. Lastly, I would offer this. Our community doesn't need people outside our region or state thinking there is an opportunity to meddle in our affairs. We know the current administration will put its values ahead of the well-being of those in regions across the country. Right now, West Texas isn't as defenseless as maybe our neighbors in southeast New Mexico, and that has to be frustrating for those that want to speed up the transition away from oil and gas. Let's keep it that way. I say it is better for the people in Texas to be in control of our destiny. And just like I would like to see an underfunded railroad commission be provided the resources needed to regulate the industry more effectively in the 21st century, it is imperative that leaders acknowledge there should be alternatives to pumping so much water deep into the ground. Odessa American, Other Voices Section, published Sunday, January 2nd, 2022. All About the Work in 2022, by State Representative Brooks Landgraf. Happy New Year. I'm thankful to have 2020 and 2021 in the rearview mirror and look forward to the opportunities that 2022 will bring. The last 2 years have been unique, so I am not going to try to make any predictions for 2022. All I know is that I will be keeping my nose to the grindstone, doing the work for West Texas and the Permian Basin in the Texas House of Representatives. We've had a balmy winter so far, but colder weather is on the way. As I made my way around the district, hosting town halls during the last couple of months, one of the most common topics of conversation regarding the legislature's work in 2021 had to do with the Texas grid. I want to take the opportunity to provide an update on things here. As we all remember, last February, record-setting sub-freezing temperatures forced outages and left millions of Texans to endure the freezing cold without electricity for extended periods. Texans have never been put through what they experienced that week. These horrific events were a wake-up call for us in the Texas legislature, and they served as a call to action to swiftly identify and address the root causes of the vulnerabilities in our power grid. However, the 2021 legislative session was already underway when the storm hit, leaving only a few months to provide solutions. My colleagues and I started getting to work while the lights were still off. In the days and weeks that followed, we heard countless hours of testimony from industry stakeholders, state agencies, and everyday Texans regarding the causes and impacts of the blackouts. Lack of oversight, a breakdown of communication, and major failures in coordination between Texas's regulatory agencies were some of the main contributors to our power grid's failure to supply enough power to meet demand. It was clear this undertaking would require solutions at different levels: emergency preparedness, grid resilience, and reform of ERCOT and the Public Utilities Commission, PUC. By the end of the regular session, the legislature successfully passed bills that provided solutions at each of those levels. As your state representative, I was proud to support Senate Bill 3, a bill that introduced crucial steps to address both the power grid's resiliency and the state's energy emergency preparedness. Senate Bill 3 establishes an emergency alert system to ensure Texans are properly notified when power demand may exceed supply. The bill also establishes strategic rules to help prevent lengthy rolling blackouts. Additionally, the bill requires generation, transmission, and natural gas facilities to weatherize and creates penalties of up to $1 million per day for failure to comply. Lastly, it requires that all actors across the electricity supply chain submit annual emergency preparedness plans to the appropriate state agencies for review. To achieve higher accountability and transparency of ERCOT and the PUC, I was also proud to support Senate Bill 2 and Senate Bill 2154, which completely overhaul the governing structure of both entities. Senate Bill 2 increases the legislature's oversight of ERCOT and requires that ERCOT's chairman and the members of the board of directors be residents of Texas. Furthermore, the bill sets the professional requirements necessary for selection to the board. Senate Bill 2154 addresses the PUC and establishes similar requirements. I am proud of the strong proactive measures the legislature took to ensure that fellow Texans never go through this again. Let me be clear, there is still a lot of work to be done, but our power grid will be more prepared this winter than it has ever been. Nevertheless, as we continue the work to strengthen the power grid even more, know that I will be engaged in every way that I can. You have my word that I will always be on the front lines protecting Permian Basin jobs. Whatever work is left to be done to fix the grid must be focused on reliability. Oil and gas always must be a major part of the state's portfolio. We love all forms of energy generation in the Permian Basin, but I refuse to allow big city politicians who have never been west of Fort Worth to use this rare weather event as another way to wage war on oil and gas. Until next time, Shelby, Hollis, Rose, and I wish you and yours a happy new year. God bless Texas. Brooks Landgraf serves House District 81, which encompasses Andrews, Ector, Ward, and Winkler counties.
Longtime friend brings others along on outings. Dear Abby, I have a friend, Tara, I've known for a long time. Early in our friendship, when we made plans, she would bring her boyfriend along without asking or telling me she was. When she began dating her now husband, now it is continued. I did grow to like him and appreciated the chance to get to know him, but I thought it could have been handled better. A planned event where we all hung out occasionally, not her dragging him along to everything we had planned together. She is married now and a mother, and now every time we hang out, she brings along her rambunctious 6-year-old. Tara's mother is older and lives with her, and sometimes she comes along with them. I'm the boy's godmother. We're close. He calls me Auntie, and I love him dearly, but that doesn't mean I don't want some alone time with Tara. The child is not well behaved, so taking him out in public isn't always pleasant or easy. I'm a planner. I dislike getting railroaded with babysitting when I'm anticipating a fun girl's day out. Tara usually waits until right before we're getting together to say he's coming, changes our plans, or waits until she's on the way and says, "I hope it's okay. Bobby's coming with me." I find it rude and disrespectful of me and our time together. I hate to lose a longtime friend, but I never know what I'm getting with her and am now hesitant to make plans with her. What would you do in this situation? Signed, Simmering in South Carolina. Dear Simmering, I would tell my friend that once in a while I don't mind an occasional change of plans, but when I have a fun girl's day out planned with her, I don't appreciate what she's been doing. Your feelings are valid. Dear Abby, I've been invited to a wedding. I'm close with the bride and want to attend. However, more than 400 people have been invited, and I'm not comfortable attending an event this large where social distancing will be impossible. While I can try to keep my distance and, of course, wear a mask, the seating cannot be arranged so guests can socially distance. I'm torn between protecting the health of others and myself and preserving my friendship because she's a bride in love, and I'm worried about hurting her feelings. In our state, gatherings of 100 people are allowed if they are outside and people wear masks and social distance. She thinks the coronavirus is a hoax, and God will have it go away completely by her wedding. I need to RSVP. Please help. Signed, Uneasy in Oregon. Dear Uneasy, tell your friend that you're sorry you will miss her wedding, but that you are not comfortable traveling at this time or being in large groups while the COVID virus is still an issue, and the Omicron variant is more contagious than Delta. The COVID virus is not a hoax, and none of us has such a close relationship with the Almighty that he will appear or disappear so a bride can have a large wedding. The bride-to-be is entitled to her opinion, and you are equally entitled to yours. So send your regrets and the reason for them, and do not allow yourself to be sucked into a debate about it. P.S. A nice wedding gift might soften the blow of your absence.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.